It's very difficult. Now, let me just review briefly. It's very hard to picture 200 million demons gathered together after four angels are released from the river Euphrates. It's very difficult. The previous trumpet is not that difficult, the fifth trumpet, where you have these creatures coming up out of the bottomless pit, because they're described and they're identifiable. I went over this last Sunday morning, but in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, it talks about Lucifer. It talks about how Satan was actually created to protect all the universe, everything literal, physical, material, and how he blew it. Now, his angels were originally created to protect the earth. In other words, not to destroy it, and to protect the universe, not to destroy it. But when he fell, those angels of his that went with him completely reversed their character. And now we find in these last trumpets, those who were created, these angels that are fallen, that were created to protect the earth, are trying to destroy it. At the same time, we discussed Michael's angels. Part of Michael's angels fell with Lucifer. I'm firmly convinced of it. And I showed you why on the blowing of the fifth trumpet. So these angels from Michael's realm are kept in Tartarus, which is the worst part of the underworld, really. And they're unleashed on the fifth trumpet and come forth and torment. They are destroyer angels. They're created for war. They're not created to protect something. They're created for war. And then we have Gabriel's angels, part of which fell with Lucifer, and they are messenger angels. In other words, they don't have any great power of their own, except they are sent by God to do things that involve God's will and their directive in that they tell people what God is supposed to do. Now, let me define to you why I told you all that. These 200 million characters on horseback are a vast army of fallen angels, demons. A vast army of fallen angels, demons, begin to destroy the earth they were created to protect, using it to destroy its inhabitants with fire, smoke, and brimstone from its interior. Now, later on, before the Battle of Armageddon, all these demons are going to possess those men and women who take the mark of the beast, 666, and they're going to be the ones who are shifting the plates to destroy man. So when you look at what these 200 million demons are doing, then what you see is they are exercising their power, which they were originally given to protect the earth, and they're using the earth to destroy men with the earth. So when you look at these things with their heads roaring like lions, with their heads spitting forth fire, and their tails going out and spitting forth fire and brimstone, what you're really looking at is the final unleashing of these tectonic plates, and you're looking at fire and brimstone coming up and roaring out of volcanoes like the roar of lions. You're looking at volcanic lava flowing across the earth, collecting in long pools at the end like serpent's heads, and it's all being described as spiritual things using physical things to do what they weren't created to do, but just the opposite. That's why this is such a difficult trumpet. Well, we covered Michael's angels. The ones that fell from Michael's realm are the ones, I believe, that come up and torment men for 5 months on the blowing of the fifth trumpet. But now here we see two other kinds of demons. Now remember, you've got 200 million demons. You've got them riding on horses. Now the demons are both the horses and the riders. In other words, the riders are demons and the horses are demons. They picture demons. The horses have the power. It's out of their mouth that the destruction comes. It's out of their tail that the destruction comes. They have the power. They are the fallen demons from Lucifer's realm who were originally designed to protect the earth. Now they're using their power to destroy it. But remember Gabriel's angels? And I told you they don't have the power, and I've shown you scriptures to validate that. They're the demons sitting on the horses. They don't have the power themselves. But they're messengers. They're envoys. They're ones who are sent to do a job by God. But now, instead of being permissive and doing what God sent them to do, they're guiding and directing the demons who have the power to destroy the earth that fell from Lucifer's realm. They're directing them. So the demons on the horseback are from Gabriel's realm. The horses themselves are demons from Satan's realm. And the angels that came up out of the bottomless pit in the fifth trumpet before this are from Michael's realm. That's why this is a very difficult trumpet. Hal Lindsey and others have said it's 200 million actual men. It's not. The earth protector and his angels began to destroy what they were created to protect. Revelation 11, 18. This is the blowing of the fifth of the seventh trumpet. Now notice what these demons from the trumpet before it and the sixth trumpet are doing. Revelation 11 and 18. Now, it says, and the nations were angry. At this point, the nations are just angry. The Battle of Armageddon is five chapters away. So they're angry. These demons have come out. They're beginning to start to possess men, but they're pictured as beginning to do something that you see at the very end of this verse. I've talked about this much verse so often, I'm not going to go into it now. I went through it last Sunday. But let's just take the first part. And the nations were angry. Now look at the last part. And should destroy them which destroy the earth. At this point, these demon horses are unleashing the power they were originally given to protect the earth, to destroy it from its interior by releasing what's in the earth to fulfill the prophecies, actually, that God wrote, and God's using them in spite of them being evil. And should us destroy them which destroy the earth. At this point, Gabriel's angels, demons, fallen angels from Gabriel's realm, are riding on the back of these horses and directing them as messengers, they are. And they are the guiding influence and the actual destructions being done by the demons on which they ride from Lucifer's realm. They're destroying the earth, and now what's going to happen? This is the seventh trumpet. Immediately following this, the vials of wrath are poured out. Before this, these demons, back here on the sixth trumpet, are destroying the earth. They're doing it with fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now God's going to destroy them because of what they're doing to the earth and the complete reversal of the original role for which they were created. Now, this is what the earth looks like in the interior. This is what Lucifer was set over to protect. But instead of protecting it, these fallen angels from Gabriel's realm on the back of these horses are directing the horses, which are also demons, which represent fallen angels from Lucifer's realm, and they're unleashing underneath the earth the elements of the earth to come forth on the surface and destroy men along with the earth, and they're going to destroy about 2.5 billion people. Now, here is the mouth of a volcano. They roar like a lion. Fire comes out of it, and lava. It looks like a long, twining snake. It has a head that roars, and it also has a tail that goes out and hurts. This is the mouth of a volcano. They roar, they send out fire, they send out blood-red lava that goes out in long, drawing tails. The mouth of a volcano hurts, and the tail of a volcano hurts. These liquid bits of rock flow up to 20 miles an hour. They go great distances. They weave their way across the earth and collect in heads. And anywhere along that, they're dangerous. They collect in pools, heads, like the tails of the horses. So when I went through these scriptures last week, this is what it's talking about, Revelation 9, 17. And I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. Fire is just what it is. It's a red, blazing substance. Jacinth is a smoky pearl. It's a smoky sapphire. Specifically, a blue, smoky sapphire. It's smoky blue. That pictures the smoke coming out of these volcanoes. And brimstone. Now, that's what they have on the breastplates. Those creatures that are on the horses are the fallen angels from Gabriel's realm, and those are the three things that are being used by the demons on which they ride to destroy the earth, and it's why they're going to be destroyed by God after the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. They roared, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. You see the fire here, you see the jacinth, which is smoky blue, And you see the brimstone, which is mentioned here. Those are the same three things. Now, in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, you have these scriptures. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who may devour. These volcanoes are going to roar with the power that Satan was given to protect the earth, but instead of protecting the earth, they're going to try to destroy it. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Ephesians 6, 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you what the worst type of spiritual ignorance is. A child of God who doesn't realize this. And you think when you get mad at somebody in the church, or when you get irritated with me, or when I get irritated with you, you think it's something that you are justified in doing, or I think it's something I'm justified in doing. And the truth of the matter is, it's because you're being influenced every day. God does not want you in this church. God does not want you to love the people in this church. God does not want you to worship here. God does not want you to give glory to Christ. And you sometimes think that you're justified in things that you say, think, and do about others in the church. And so do I. But I would say in 99% of the cases, I'm not justified and you're not justified, because what's happening is we're being actually influenced by spiritual wickedness in high places. And the word high is uranos. It means heavenly places. We fight a battle every day. What's God going to reward us for? Still being in the race, still running, and still fighting at the end. This is a fight against evil that continually tries to draw us away from worshiping God. We're going to sin. We're going to get mad at each other. We're going to get jealous of one another. We're going to get hateful toward one another. We're going to judge one another. We're going to do all the things we shouldn't do. But we have an advocate with the Father. And when he convicts us that what we're doing is wrong, we have but to ask him to forgive us, and he forgives us. And that's what it means to resist and to keep on fighting and not to quit. You're going to be judged by whether you're still in church serving God when he comes. You wait and see. You're going to be judged for that. And so am I. Not for how many sins we did or didn't commit. We can confess those and they're forgotten. But whether or not we continued faithful. Revelation 9, 17, 18. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, them that sat on them. I believe those are the demons that were fallen, that were once angels that fell from Gabriel's realm. Having breastplates of fire. Now notice, Jason, they also have the smoky blue breastplate. Now they don't have any power. But those are the symbols of power of the demons on which they ride, whom God gave the original power, and the horses represent the fallen demons from Lucifer's realm. And of Jason and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lion. Now notice the correlation. These are what the horses issue out. These are the breastplates of the demons that sat on them. They are the messengers, are the ones who are directing them. And the ones who have the power are fallen from Satan's realm. And out of their mouth issued fire. Notice back here, having breastplates of fire. And they issued out smoke. Notice of Japheth, that smoky blue. And brimstone, and brimstone. So here you have the correlation. Now notice, by these three was the third part of men killed. By the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. So right now, the world's population is 6 billion. So this is going to kill a third of them. So you put 6 over 3, and it's going to kill about 2 billion. Now, earlier I said 2.5 billion, but I'm always goofing up. I was noticing the other day I had my on my tape, I had my granddaughter marrying Joe Carlton instead of his son Richard. Heaven only knows what I say half the time. I always know what I'm saying when Norma's here, because I can turn around or animate. Because when I say something wrong, I look back there and they're both grinning like a couple of possums. And I think, what on earth did I say wrong? Anyway, by these was the third part of men killed by the fire. There's your fire. By the smoke, there's your smoky blue sapphire. And by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Now, I went through in Acts 2, 19 through 21, and Joel 3, 14 through 15. And I'll just read these scriptures again, but just to bring them back to mind. You know what I said about them when I went through them. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Joel 19 through 21. Now here's Joel 3, 14 and 15. Now, later on, these demons, after you see them here on the sixth trumpet, later on, by the time of the sixth vial, Once again, we're going to refer back to them, and we're going to see later on what they're doing by the time of the sixth vial. They're going to actually be possessing men and women all over the earth, leading them to take the mark of the beast, and they're going to be collecting and drawing them to the city of Jerusalem. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Isaiah 5, 14 through 16. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Not only is the liquid rock coming out to enlarge hell by extending its effects out on the surface, but these creatures that are in the earth itself are going to come out on the earth in the form of Michael's angels, and you are going to see hell actually getting larger because part of it comes out on the surface. Now notice, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. How do you like this pointer, Chili? See now why I gave you that old cheap one? See, you thought I was a good guy. I just didn't want to keep that old cheap thing. Nice one. I also got one. See, I can put one here and have a heart on it, and a star, and two fingers. This just, don't you wish you had one of these? Well, you just, yeah, I have. I've become a big time evangelist. Well, let's see here. Now let's go on with verse 16. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Now remember, we started off way back there in Revelation. They said three woes were coming. The fifth trumpet is the first woe. The sixth trumpet is the second woe. And the seventh trumpet is the third woe. But now here we are way back in the Old Testament. We're all the way back in Isaiah 5, 16 through 20. That's where we were here. Remember, we had hell enlarging itself, opening its mouth. Now we have Isaiah 5, 20 through 30. And notice what Isaiah says about this same time period. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. This is where God gets set apart in the eyes of all men. Now look at these three woes. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I mean, it all depends on your definition of the word is. I did not have sex with that woman. That is true. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If you can't watch television nowadays and see that the whole definition of good and evil has changed, if you can't come to see that people like you and I are looked upon as evil, and the people who are doing evil are looked upon as good, and we're looked upon as those who are thwarting the purposes of God because we're cold, indifferent, hard-headed, legalistic, ungodly people, because we don't have their concept that they have developed through their own preconceived ideas of what religion is, then you're not watching television very much. That's the first woe. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Just take a look at the world today. Lovers of self, this describes this generation. Woe, woe, woe. Verse 20, woe unto them. Verse 21, woe unto them. Verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. I came home last night on the midnight special out of Houston, absolutely, completely surrounded by nothing but drunks, and a woman who sat across from me that kept calling me, honey, oh, honey, how you doing? And they were literally soused. I mean, they were soused. And there were two rednecks in front of me, you would not believe, that sat up there and talked about their conquest of women. And the drunker they got, the worse it got. Pretty soon they got so loud, even their wives were sitting across from them, and they were drinking. And they got mad because they could hear what they were saying. And this woman's across the aisle from me said, how are you doing, honey? And there I am on that plane. Well, finally I got home. You say, Brother Michael Murray, I guess you told them about the Lord. No, I didn't tell them about the Lord. You say, well, you should have just jumped up. No, it wouldn't have done one bit of good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many people on this church row who are tainted. They actually look at some of these things and they say, well, you shouldn't judge those people. Then pray tell me why on earth did God put the book down here? And pray tell me why in the Word of God does it identify all these things that are going on in Washington as being wrong? And pray tell me why is the American public so much in love with the president just because he provides them with correct Social Security and gives them the money they need? It's because those people are more interested in their own financial welfare than they are in the will of God in this world and in this life. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, why don't you get up and say something? I used to get up and say something. And I discovered that when I did it, I caused more harm than good and almost got killed a couple of times. So I just sit there and let them say, hi, honey, and go on. Which justify the wickedness for reward. I'm glad Imogene wasn't there. Imogene's not quite like I am. She'd have gone over and decked that lady. Which justify the wicked for reward and taketh away with the righteousness from him. Right now, we live in a society that justifies everything by money. It doesn't matter what the moral standard of a person is. It doesn't matter how much he or she lies. It doesn't matter how perverted their sexual life is. It doesn't matter what great harm they bring to their family and their children. Just as long as our economy is in great shape, and as long as that person got me the proper amount of Social Security, and that man is deceiving you and winding you around his finger because he knows what makes you tick. M-O-N-E-Y. They justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness from him. And when somebody sits and looks like a prude at me when I'm presenting this, the fact of the matter is that person is the very person that needs to hear this more than anyone else and to do something about it in their own attitude and their own life. Verse 24. Well, it's all going to change. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so shall their root be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. What's this talking about? So their root shall be as rottenness. A man's root considered to be his offspring. All these people in Washington that are doing all these things, these people that were on the plane with me last night, you think they're going in the millennial reign? You think their children are going in the millennial reign? You think any of that lot's going to have descendants that go into it? No. Why? Their prodigy, their offspring, their root will not continue. It'll be as a rotten root. Their blossom shall go up as dust. Right now, their life is blossoming. The President of the United States, the greatest honor a man can have in this country. And look at the degradation of that office. And look at the rest of those hounds in Washington that are ungodly. You think their roots going forward? You think their descendants are going in the millennial reign? And some people say, well, I don't care about things like that. I know you're just like they are. And despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. You're going to see it poured out. Remember, Isaiah said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And remember, I just showed you before that. He said, hell hath enlarged himself. And this is directly related to the time that we're talking about on the blowing of the sixth trumpet. And look at what God does. Therefore, because the world has gotten in this condition, and if you don't think it's in that condition, you're spiritually blind. You have no spiritual insight whatsoever. Verse 25, therefore, as a conclusion, is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people. And he has smitten forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. That's primarily talking about Israel. Remember Isaiah wrote this? You think in this country we're evil? Do you know that Barak and Shiach and the Central Party, and the Labor Party have already sent back over here and got this guy that looks like a missing link that has President Clinton's advisor that tells him how to win elections? Do you realize they've already got that ungodly crowd over there working for them so they can learn how to win elections? And do you know they have already paid them for it and they're already over there working with them? Israel's just as rotten and corrupt as the rest of the world now, and they've turned away from their God, and they have gone completely secular. This is what God's going to do to them. He's going to come down and allow Assyria to take the city of Jerusalem. The hills are going to tremble. You're going to see great earthquakes. God's going to smite them. Their carcasses are going to be torn in the midst of the street. Their women are going to be raped, their houses rifled, their children bayoneted. Notice what he says next. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. God's going to eventually restore Israel, which he's going to pay a terrible price. This earth is going to lose most of its population. 6 billion people are alive now. I doubt if there are a billion left at the end of the tribulation period. I seriously doubt it. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they will come in with speed swiftly. After all this terrible anger of the Lord is poured out in the tribulation period, after the carcasses of the Israelites are torn in the midst of their streets, after the Antichrist army is destroyed along with the Antichrist, thrown into a burning lake of fire with brimstone, then he's going to actually call back his people from all over the earth, and they shall come with speed swiftly, and he's going to rule and reign over a physical kingdom from Israel. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp. Here comes the punishment of Israel. Their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar. They shall lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them with the roaring of the sea. And if one look into the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heaven above. That's what's about to happen to the nation of Israel. Well, Lord willing, we're going to start right here. I'd hope to finish this today. Not there. But we're going to start with the demon possession. We're going to start with a time when these same demons that I've been talking about on the sixth vial, which is the parallel vial to the seventh trumpet, when they begin to possess men all over the earth and women that take the mark of the beast and eternally seal their souls, just like Jesus sealed our soul when he saved us. Their souls are going to be sealed, and these demons are going to occupy people. There are plenty of people to do it. There are only 200 million of these demons, and the earth's population is 600 billion, so you've got plenty of people that are going to take the mark of the beast. Okay, Chili.